Hey, welcome to the Allison Park Leadership Podcast, where we discuss the principles behind the plans. I'm one of your hosts. My name is Dave.
And my name is Jeff Leek, and we're really glad you're joining us today.
Thanks for listening, and we especially want to say thanks to our listeners who left us 5-star reviews. As always, we want to give a shout-out to a couple of people, so we want to say thank you to MTSmith2834, and thank you to Biggie D and the gang. And if you're a regular listener, but you haven't yet had a chance to give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, that helps us to, you know, get a little bit more recognition, help spread the word, and it will give you a free shout out from us on the podcast next episode. So, you know, borrow your mom's phone, or if you're sitting by somebody on the bus, you can grab their phone. But leave us a review. We would love to have that from you. So but thank you for being a part of the show with us. We love the faithful listeners. So thanks for joining.
Yeah, and we are going to talk about something that, honestly, I've wanted to talk about as a podcast topic for a while.
Yes.
And, you know, as a pastor of a church for 31 years, this is something that I have felt acutely for a long time. And it has to do with what happens when somebody leaves the church. And so if you're a person in a church, this will be applicable to you. If you're the pastor of a church, this will be applicable to you. If you are a pastor receiving people who are leaving another church and coming to yours, this will be applicable to you. So we have titled this
Jerk Pastors and How to Ethically Leave Your Church.
There we go.
Title straight from Jeff's brain. Title. I feel like that's a title that you just got off of a certain phone call and you were like, I'm doing a podcast.
kind of was one of those. I don't remember the specific phone call, but it has definitely been on my mind a lot during this time.
I think it's been in a lot of people's minds.
Yeah.
If you're not, you know, if you're not close with a lot of pastors, maybe you're somebody who goes to church, but you don't talk about this a lot. This has been a really big, difficult thing that churches have been going through for a while, but especially since COVID.
Well, so let me back up a little bit. If you're the pastor of a church or you attend a church, there are some moments in life where people make transitions. So people will move for various reasons. Maybe they've got a job in a different city and they leave and you bless them as they go out. Or maybe they have been there and their season with you is up and God is actually calling them to go to a different church to serve in a different role. Or for some reason, maybe it has to do with their family or the job or the ministry that God's called them to. And so people change congregations all the time. That's a part of it. And then some people leave and they leave really badly. And when they leave, they say things that are potentially really hurtful to the pastor or even other people in the church. It may be because they've been hurt and there's legitimate reasons for them to leave saying some things. Or it may be just because that they are immature or maybe just not sure how to handle that transition moment. Okay, so all of that happens as a regular part of life. And if you're sitting in a church, you might say, you know, I've been wondering if my time is up in my congregation. How do you know when it's time to leave your church and go to a different one? And if I do that, how do I exit properly? So these are some of the questions that we're going to address. But
and what's the whole thing about jerk pastors?
Okay, so now let's go into the pandemic. During 2020, because of the tensions around all of the issues. So we don't have to name them anymore, but masks or non-masked, open or not open, lockdown or not lockdown, vaccinated or not vaccinated, posting on certain issues or not posting on certain
Trump
issues.
Trump or no Trump.
Trump or no Trump. Yeah, okay. There were some pastors on social media who were messaging like this. Still are, but a little less than what used to be. If your pastor is not having the courage to do the following, keep your church open, keep your church closed, care about people enough to protect them and their health, they're making you wear a mask or not wear a mask, you should not be in that wimpy church any longer. It's time for you to leave. Okay. And then what would happen is people who were upset about that particular issue would hear that pastor's social media post and then forward it to people like me on Messenger. So as I would get the message. Now, whether they left or not was another matter, but you had one pastor calling out other pastors online on a regular basis over many, many different issues. So we were already under enough pressure trying to figure out what to do. Like, do we stay open? Do we wear masks? How do we process all this? What do we do on these social issues? And then to have other brothers and sisters in Christ taking shots at you and telling your people who are watching them online, leave that church and go someplace else. That was pretty brutal. And so thus the title Jerk Pastors.
And that wasn't just a thing, obviously, that was local to Pittsburgh. That was happening all over the country all over the world.
Yeah, even. Many of the people that were calling others out weren't in Pittsburgh necessarily, although there were a few. They were national ministries that were, you know, throwing down. Actually, this happened just recently in 2022 when the decision was passed down by the Supreme Court about Roe v. Wade. And the messaging was, I had some friends that were online saying this, if your pastor is not publicly celebrating this, you should leave your church. So that was the last round of that messaging that came from other pastors.
For now.
For now, yeah, yeah. So let me just say, I think that is, all of that was done in the moment of great indignation with the desire to say, we all need to take a stand. Okay, I get that. But the way of processing that was very unbiblical and unhelpful and divisive, because there is a way to handle conflict within the church or even issues you have with other pastors, and it is not to go on social media and challenge people to leave churches. That to me, that was really wrong. And I know that there are some people that might be listening to this, and you said stuff like that. And so I'm now giving you my opinion. I'm not trying to call you out, and I'm not telling people that they should leave your church. What I am saying is, as an older pastor who's been around for a while, who really is interested in trying to have unity in the body of Christ, there is a certain role that I think is a Christ-like role, which is to be a peacemaker. And I think that was not about making peace or even leading people into a place of agreement on what to do.
Well, don't resolve it yet.
Okay. I just don't want to, if somebody's listening to this, feel like that I am attacking you. But because we did use the phrase jerk pastors.
Sure.
So I'm not even saying particular individuals are jerks. I'm saying it's jerky. Okay, that's a jerky thing to do, to put pressure on other people that way. So I would just appeal to you, if you did take that stand or forwarded something to your pastor and you're tempted to turn the podcast off, stay around for a moment, because I think we're going to get to some principles that will be helpful in guiding you in the future.
Good.
Yeah.
I love it. So this is something that literally before we get on, you were like, I could talk about this for hours.
Good. Well, okay. And okay, can I say this? I'm a big boy now. Like, I have been around the block. I've been here for over 30 years. I'm secure in my role. I'm secure in my position here at Allison Park Church. Honestly, this is not coming from a place of personal pain or personal threat. I am actually wanting to speak up for a lot of pastors that I know who have thought about quitting the ministry because of how they have experienced things over the last couple of years. And so I want to give voice to the local pastor who has felt put on the spot by some of this. Mm-hmm. And you got the video forwards, and you were just overrun by it. Like, it just really bummed you out. I want to speak up for you. And I also want to speak to the people who are in churches and are frustrated with their pastors and frustrated with the positions their church is taking or not taking on politics or pandemic issues or doctrine or whatever it happens to be. Mm-hmm. And I want to talk to you about how to deal with those frustrations, because none of this is going away.
Yeah, right.
And so I do think we have to figure out how to navigate it well.
It's a boiling kettle in so many different ways, because it's not like there has been outrage over one issue.
Right.
I think Ed Stetzer, he's a researcher. He wrote.
Yeah, he's on the staff at Wheaton University. I think he's one of the deans there, and he also worked for a while for Lifeway, and he's done a lot with George Barna's organization.
Yeah, I'm gonna butcher the title of this book. I think I'm missing one word, but he wrote a book that I'd started. It's called Christians in the Age of Outrage. Is what he wrote about. And I think a lot of the themes of even just of that title is the idea that we do live not just in a church world, but in an age of outrage, you know? And so I think the boiling kettle is anything, like anything can come into that mix, anything that's divisive, anything that is, you know, that there are strong emotions or opinions. It could be about our nation or about justice or you name it. And it does come into the church world. And how do we interact with this as Christians?
Or it's something way simpler like that. Like, I don't like the worship anymore.
Sure.
Or I don't like the style of preaching. Or
I'm not being fed.
I don't feel fed. I've been hurt by somebody. I happen to have a friend that's going to a church down the road and they're doing some things that are a little more exciting to me at the moment. It's any of the above. It can be all of those things, right?
Yeah. Okay. So I think that's the best place to start. So before, since that applies to everybody, we're talking about how to ethically leave your church. So that applies to both people just attending a church and pastors.
Yep.
Because it's stuff that we all are dealing with. So why don't we start there? I mean, when we're talking about how to ethically leave your church, why don't we start, can you answer this? Like, what does it mean maybe to unethically leave your church? Like, is that even, because I think the question some people would have is like, well, why is it unethical to leave a church ever? You know, how is there an ethical way? How is there a right or appropriate way to do so versus a wrong way?
Yeah, maybe the word ethical is a little strong. Maybe it should be how to sensitively leave your church.
Okay.
But I think there's a little bit of both there. So yeah, let's just talk about this for a moment. So first, when the pandemic hit, I was shocked at how many people left the church in the first 30 days.
Yeah.
This is true. It's not just Allison Park Church's story. It's everyone's story. There were people that were leaders here that within a month had left. So it's not like the pressures of the pandemic had even mounted. What is true is that they were like almost out the door before the pandemic hit.
But you didn't know it.
And I didn't know it. Right. No one knew it. Maybe they even didn't know it. But as soon as the pressure came on and we ended up on lockdown, they were instantly gone. Okay. And so I still come back to, how can you do that? I mean, the church is in the greatest crisis probably in our lifetime. And within 30 days, you're already leaving the church. That's the time to stick. I actually felt like that was a bit shallow, to be honest.
Yeah.
Okay. Then there were people who left a little bit later. And here's what we experienced. So let's go back to 2020s because the 2020 tensions are a good frame for all this. So we were on lockdown. Then we came off of lockdown. Then the rules changed. We went outside. Some churches were still closed in Pittsburgh. We were open, but we were open outside. Some churches were open inside. It was all over the map. During that summer, there were some people who left their church and came to Allison Park Church to our outdoor services. And they came to our church because they didn't like the policies their church had on the lockdown, whatever that happened to be. And then their church opened up and they stayed with us for a little bit. And when they came, they were so mad. They were mad that their church was still locked down. They were mad that their church was making them wear masks. And they would show up and they would tell me, I said, where are you from? They would tell me the name of the church. And they'd tell me why they came and how mad they were. And I would think to myself, you know, our policy on this is really not that much different from the church that you just left. And then I would hear of a family in my church that had left my church and gone to the very same church that this family had just left. For the same reason.
Yeah.
And here's what I discovered. There were people that were mad and scared, and they didn't know what to do with their anger and fear. And so they took it out on their church. They assumed that the reason why it was like this, the reason why they felt this is because their church was to blame. And it's just because they didn't know who else to point the finger at. Eventually, then it was, you know, Dr. Fauci and Trump or Biden or whatever. And the church got caught in the crossfire. And so then it became, we break down into tribes. And if my church doesn't belong to the tribe I think it should, now I'm going to leave and move to a different church. But the problem was many of the other churches were a mixture of all these tribes too.
Sure.
So they just changed seats on the bus.
Yeah.
And then over the 2020, 2021 years, some people migrated back home. They're like, I probably shouldn't have left. I you know what, this is my home. And other people, they had to transplant themselves because they didn't know what to do with their internal problems. So sometimes people leave a church because they are personally struggling with something and they assume it's their church. Because for whatever reason, so here's one reason. I'm bitter at somebody in my church or outside of my church and my spirit has closed. And now when I hear the word preach or worship happens, it doesn't feel the same. And I blame it on the environment. But actually what's the problem is I have a bitter spirit. And nowhere that I go, it's going to feel the same because I have a bitter root in my life. And until I pull that root up and get right with God, get healed, my spirit is going to be closed off to anyone who preaches the word to me. Mm. Unless they preach to me in such a way that reinforces my bitterness.
What I already believe. Yes. Yeah, sure.
Right. Sure. Okay. So some people get bitter and blame their pastor or blame their worship leader or blame their church. Other times people go through a life trauma. Like I have people in my church that during the pandemic lost a spouse. And every time they come back to this church, they remember sitting in the seat with their spouse. And it doesn't feel the same to them. And they want to seek out another space because it is so painful to endure that. Okay, that's an understandable emotional reaction to something. And some people just feel like the whole world's falling apart and I feel so afraid and I don't feel like my pastor is addressing this enough. And I hear on Fox News them saying this or on MSNBC them saying this, and I don't hear the same thing coming from my pastor. I'm on Facebook and I watch this prophetic voice or I'm listening to this Bible teacher and they're saying this and my pastor's not saying the same thing. And I'm all confused and I'm very afraid and I don't know what to do. I need to just run.
Yeah,
and so they run out of their church to try to find something else. And then they're constantly searching to scratch that itch.
I actually think there's even another overarching thing that I see. I think it goes along with what you're saying, but it's a slightly different take. I think my take is that I think a lot of people's view on church is not as shallow as I'm about to say, but it's sort of in a similar vein as like the way you express yourself by the types of shoes you buy or the type of clothes you wear or the car you drive or the neighborhood you live in or your job. It's like, this is a part of who I am. I'm making choices that are expressing like my, you know, who I am as an individual. And so your church is a part of that. It's like, I'm a Christian. I, you know, I believe in Jesus. My expression of faith is, you know, whatever you state. And it's sort of like your church is
it's a consumeristic view, right?
Yeah.
But I am a Chipotle guy. No, I go to Chick-fil-A. No, I go to
Moe's. Yeah. Yeah,
right, yeah, exactly. So they see you. If you see it as a place that where you shop for religious goods and services.
Or where you go to get fed.
Or where you go to get fed.
It's like a spiritual restaurant.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, as opposed to a community.
A community. Well, yeah. So it really is designed to be a family you belong
family,
to.
Family, right.
And so you don't jump ship on your family.
Can I tell you somebody
now,
that
you
I...
can. You can. It is appropriate at times to say, I was planted in this local church family, and this is where I've done life for years. I know my pastor knows me. I lead here, I pray here, I serve here, I give here, but God is now shifting me into another place. That's okay. God moves people. In fact, let me just say, we send people out all the time to plant churches.
Right.
So we're a church that believes that God may call you. Like we just announced this past weekend, a little shout out, Pastor Kelly Brownlee and her husband Ben are launching a church in Pittsburgh called Story Collective Church. And we got up on the weekend and we said, look, if any of you feel led to go with Kelly to plant this new church, you're welcome to. And we bless that. There is seasons to make changes. But if you look at your church like a restaurant or like Walmart or Target, you're probably viewing your church from a very, very shallow and immature perspective. Mm-hmm. And you aren't thinking in terms of what a local church family is really supposed to be and how you're supposed to be a member of it, an active participant team member of it. Now, there's a whole bunch of people that didn't leave their church in the pandemic, even though they disagreed with how their pastor was handling it. There's a whole bunch of people who didn't leave their church during the pandemic and stayed planted in their family and tithed and gave extra, even though maybe they didn't appreciate everything and how it was handled. And they spoke life. And rather than forwarding, you know, hit piece videos, they showed up in my life saying, thank you for the way you're leading us through this. We so appreciate you. We're praying for you, pastor. Like there were way more of them.
Yeah.
Okay, they don't get enough credit. But there was also a large portion of the church that didn't handle themselves well and are still trying to figure out how to handle some of the tensions within their local church community.
Okay, so I want to talk about, you know, when it would be time to leave your church, especially if it's for reasons of things that are happening that you don't agree with, right? I'd like to talk about that.
Yep.
I'd like to talk at some point about what it means to be a part of a church, you know, family, as opposed to that consumerism view. But I also just wanted to shout this out because you were talking about people that have chosen to stay. You know, some of my wife's relatives, her uncle Matt and Aunt Erica, I was talking with them and they live you know, in a town with one of my friends who's pastoring up there now. And, you know, they were talking about the church they go to. They've been going, I think, for like 17 years. And, you know, it's a smaller church. And they know a lot of people that are going to another bigger church in the area. And he was just like, yeah, but I feel like we're planted here. And, you know, there's drama sometimes. And, you know, we love it. Sometimes there's not everything that's great, but we just feel like we're supposed to stay here. And I just was like, you know, when he was telling me that, I was like, let's go. You know what I mean? Like, he's sticking with the church, like, just out of principle of, like, this is our family, this is our community. And, you know, I know that that's not, it's not like if you go to a church, they now possess you and, like, you should feel controlled by that. I don't think this is like a pastor is trying to retain their people at all costs. But I do think they recognize the value of joining a family and of planting themselves somewhere. And I mean, even for them, their church has service online. They're intentionally going in person to rub shoulders with people that they might disagree with sometimes or who are different than them because they're a part of that community. And I just loved that attitude.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's walk through some things. First, no church is a perfect church. Doesn't matter where you go, it won't be perfect. And if you're there long enough and you look around, you can find the flaws. The reason why you leave a church is not because of its imperfections. That's just silly because that's like leaving your spouse to go find the perfect spouse. They don't exist, right? It's just everybody has going to have flaws. Okay, secondly, are you leaving because you don't want to be there anymore? Because God's actually asking you to go someplace else. Because when people get upset, they stop asking God that question. Mm-hmm. They're looking for validation. They're not actually looking for direction. Mm-hmm. And so is God saying to you, it's time for you to leave? And if so, here's the proper way to do it, okay? So here's what people tend to do. They feel so much angst about the fact that they're leaving their church, and they want to feel justified in making that choice. And so they have to find a reason. And so then they look around and they say, this is the reason. I'm not being fed. There's no anointing on the worship. You know, you're compromising the gospel. I don't know, whatever it is you call it. So then you go to your pastor and you say, I am leaving the church, and you fire and dagger an arrow into his heart or her heart before you leave. What good does that do? If you're leaving, leave with blessing, not with an attack. So the best way to leave ethically and sensitively is to say, Pastor, thank you for everything. You know, you have been so kind to us. Okay, this is to say that you haven't been specifically abused in some way by the situation, which may be an unusual circumstance. But if it's just a general, I feel like God is leading us out of here, then you go and you say, Pastor, we love you. We bless you. We are so thankful for you. We want you to know that our departure has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with this church. We are praying the best for this congregation. And as we go to this next place, we just want you to know how much we appreciate you. And by the way, here is one last financial contribution to your ministry, right? Because shouldn't you bless on the way out?
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Not curse?
Sure.
When somebody leaves another church and comes to Allison Park Church, I always ask them this, because often they'll come in like this. They'll say, oh, Pastor, this Allison Park's so amazing. Oh my goodness, you're preaching. You have no idea. This is just such an anointed place. Where we came from, it was just, you know, terrible. Like, we weren't being fed anymore, and it's just not healthy. And then I say, well, where'd you come from? And they're like, we don't say which church. And I'm like, no. Tell me. So they say, oh, such and such a church. Oh, that's a great church. I know your pastor. We actually went to lunch a couple of weeks ago. Okay, seriously. Then they say, oh, you know him? Yeah, no, I know him. Have you talked to him before you came here? Because listen, I don't want someone else's problems transferring into my house.
Yeah.
And a lot of the times, the people that show up in your world flattering you on day one have another agenda in their mind. Mm-hmm. So if they say, no, we have talked to him, and we told him how thankful we are, and it's just, you know, it's going through a good time. I'm glad you're friends with him. You know, we probably shouldn't have said that, but we really do feel at home here. Okay, great. Mm-hmm. If they haven't talked to him, or I will say, well, you really owe it to your pastor to go back to him and tell him you're leaving. And then let him know how much you appreciate him before you go. You can even tell him where you're going. And then if he needs to call me, or sometimes I say, would you mind if I called him?
Yeah.
So that I could learn a little bit more about you. Because a lot of times people have misbehaved or had a bad attitude, and they're leaving a wake
Right.
And they're going from one place to the next. And I don't want to just transfer that over without being pastored properly. Mm-hmm. So leave with blessing. So if you do feel like the anointing is left and you want to pronounce Ichabod, which is this thing that happened in the Old Testament where
and
the presence of God left.
To us anonymously.
Yeah, send an anonymous. That's the other thing. Do not send an anonymous note. I have a rule. I will not even read anything that comes anonymously.
Yeah.
So we used to have these connect cards. I'm sure that everybody's different since the pandemic. And sometimes people would write a critical thing on the connect card.
Yeah.
And not leave their name. And one of the administrative staff would hand it to me. And when I would see it had no name, I would throw it in the trash.
Yeah.
I'm not going to let someone without courage get into my spirit by just dropping a bomb in the offering plate. Thank you very much. I'm sure God was honored at that. You put that in the offering because my goodness. But if you put your name on it, I will call you.
Yeah, sure.
And I will thank you for your criticism. And I will say, wow, that took courage to say that and to write that. We want to hear from you. Because listen, a lot of times people who have things that are critical that hurt when we hear them, they may be the thing we need to hear.
Yeah.
And if someone's going to say it in the right spirit or tone or attitude, or even if they're new in their faith and they're just trying to get a hearing from somebody, if they put their name on it, absolutely, let's have a conversation. Mm-hmm. That's the other thing too. So if you just quickly jump to, I'm discontented here in my church, I think it's time for me to leave. Well, you probably need to explore some things first, like talk to someone about what you feel is missing.
Yeah.
Ask some questions. Like, sure. Okay, so this is another one of those pandemic things. So early on, we're back in person, but there's 25 to 30% of the people in the room.
Yeah.
I get up every service and I'm preaching and it feels like this doesn't feel the same at all. The volume in the room when people worship is not the same. It doesn't feel like it used to feel. When I preach, it doesn't feel like there's not as many amens going on in the room. This just doesn't feel the same. And then someone came to me and said, Pastor, I know we're in person, but it doesn't feel the same as it used to. And I said to him, duh. You expected it to feel the same. We're in the middle of a pandemic. Most people are online. There's hardly anybody in the room. Of course it doesn't feel the same. Yeah. What do you want me to do about that? I can't manufacture a crowd.
Sure.
Like, I remember Sacred Assembly too, which is the biggest event we do every year. And it's so amped up spiritually. This is not a Sacred Assembly moment. And if you're expecting Sacred Assembly output in a pandemic room, You're putting way too much expectation on the moment. And then they said, but I just miss it. I said, I miss it too, but it's completely out of my control. And so some people, I will just say, left their church at the wrong time because they misread the moment and their own emotions.
Yeah.
And so slow down. Don't leave so quick. Try to fix it first. Have a conversation with somebody. Pray it through. And if you happen to have to leave at some point, don't fire arrows at your pastor. Leave with blessing. And if you are a pastor who's receiving people, because let's just face it, some people benefited from the pandemic because their messaging was more tribal. And they were saying things like, if you are in a church that makes you wear a mask, you should come over here kind of a thing or whatever it happened to be. And so that's where it's unethical, where the pastor is trying to leverage a climate of fear to recruit people who are Christians from one church to another.
Mm.
That's creepy. And I don't think it honors God. And I think there's, the Bible says what you sow, you'll reap. And I think there's a reaping coming down the path. I want to be sowing such good seeds, seeds of honor and blessing, seeds of humility, that when God looks at me, he says, I want to give you my best, Jeff. I don't want to grow my church at someone else's expense.
Yeah.
That's not the right way. So anyway, like I said, I could talk forever. I'm probably dominating this conversation.
No, it's good. It's good. I think it's kind of funny the timing of this podcast, because I was telling you when we were discussing the idea for this, that the message we're preaching this weekend, which will have been this past weekend, if you're listening to this, is on the rebellion of Korah. And sort of that main idea, it may change by the time I actually preach this, so don't hold me to this. But, it's that if God is going to take you anywhere, it requires submission, not rebellion. And, you know, this story of Korah is so interesting. Like, you and I were discussing this. I was like, so what was God putting in your heart with this? And I remember you were saying, like, well, you know, the story is God's leading the people of God, the Israelites, through the wilderness. They're following Moses, and they get impatient. And the only one who's actually hearing from God is Moses. Nobody else hears what God's saying.
Yeah.
So he's telling them, and they're not trusting that Moses is actually being legit. Maybe he's corrupt. It's taking too long. And so somebody stirs a rebellion. This is a guy named Korah. Let's go back to Egypt and challenges Moses' authority.
Yeah, so let's slow down here for a moment. They're tired of the wilderness. They're tired of the manna.
Yeah.
They're tired of the journey. They're starting to wonder if the promised land is just a mirage.
Yeah.
And Korah finally says, the problem's not God, it's Moses. God wants us back in Egypt. Think about that. He wants us back in slavery. He wants us to go back where we are dominated, to undo the Red Sea miracle, undo all of these years of journeying. They got mad at Moses and tried to remove him from power, not because they were really mad at Moses,
right?
But because they were really mad at God.
Yeah. And they saw Moses as being the guy in their way.
Yeah.
Right. And I just think it's interesting. So, you know, the contrast that we're talking about is with Korah, he was one of the people of God. God asked them to follow Moses through the wilderness to the promised land. Obviously, we're not physically in the Middle East in the wilderness following Moses.
Yeah, and who of us are Moses, right?
Right, I mean, exactly.
Kind of a special character exactly. In the scripture. However, there is a principle of spiritual authority, and that is that God does appoint people into leadership. And when he does, we have to treat them, you know.
Let me give you a reference for this. I actually have it right
here.
Okay,
here you go.
So 1 Peter 2:12 is part of what we're going to be talking from. And it says, live such good lives among pagans that though they accuse you of wrongdoing, they may see your good deeds and glorify God in that he visits us. And then it says, submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether the emperor, the supreme authority, or the governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone, which feels like almost nobody does that anymore. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Honor the president, if we're going to throw that in now, right. Whether it's Trump or it's Biden or whoever it's going to be. And so, you know,
So basically, submission is different from obedience. Submission is an attitude. Submission is about honor. Submission says, I will do my best to support you no matter what. Even if I disagree with you and can't actually do everything you're telling me to do because maybe the king might be telling you to do something that's a violation of your conscience.
Sure.
I will do that with an attitude that is honoring.
Yes.
And so God will never do anything good in the world through rebellion or dishonor.
Which is so anti-American, isn't it?
Yeah.
In some ways.
Well, yeah, I guess America started in rebellion. It was the revolution was a rebellion against the British government.
But
it is also a part of the culture to rebel and protest
that's
about
what
whatever
saying.
You don't like.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I'm not even necessarily talking about the founding of the country, which sure. We won't even get into that. That's complicated.
It was a little bit of a controversial statement.
Yeah, I know. It was. Yeah, you lost some people there. No, I just mean, I think it's within the American spirit to rise up and you know, like fight for what you believe in, no matter who's the one, you know, who's the one in authority, to fight the man, to stand up for whoever it might be. I just think that is so in opposition to what we find in the New Testament as far as how we're to live. I think it's in Philippians whenever he talks about, you know, don't grumble or complain so that amongst the corrupt generation you'll stand out, you'll shine like stars in the sky because of your behavior. And so I just going back to the whole Korah thing, the directive for him was follow Moses.
Yeah, and the chapters we're talking about in the book of Numbers, what chapters?
16, I think.
Yeah, 16.
Yeah, so the directive for him was follow Moses through the wilderness. I think the directive for us now is live such exemplary lives that when people see you, they say, wow, that person looks like Jesus.
Yeah.
Regardless as to what human authorities are doing, live in such a way of humility and meekness and honor. And
which is the end of the story with Moses and Korah. I love how the story ends. It's actually one of my favorite stories in the Bible. So Moses gets challenged, called out by Korah. So let's put Moses in the pastor role. And let's put Korah in the member role who is now wanting to leave the church. Okay. And Korah does what a lot of times people do when they get discontented with their church. He doesn't go to Moses and talk to him directly. He gets his friends, and they start a little planning session about how to change things. So he gets two or three other friends, and then the clans of Korah, which I think are about 250 people, he develops a faction to push against Moses' leadership. You just hear all that, and you're like, that's not the right thing to do. But this is typically what happens when a person leaves with the wrong spirit. They talk to several other people to see, am I on the right page? Do you feel this too? And before long, they're not leaving as an individual. They're leaving with a clan.
Yeah. Their outrage spreads like a contagion. Yeah. And all of a sudden you have, it says Korah stirred the people up.
Right.
You know, they're almost in a frenzy whenever they come to Moses.
So now here you got this battle royale going on. And we still don't know which side God's on. Maybe Korah is right. Maybe obviously Moses' leadership was imperfect because he wasn't the perfect leader. So maybe Korah had spotted some flaws in Moses' leadership style. So when Moses is confronted with Korah and his rebel group, Moses says, let's let God decide. So his response was the opposite of rebellion. His response was humility.
Mm.
You know what? Maybe my time is up here. Maybe God has selected you, Korah, not me. I am not so full of myself as to think that I'm always right. Mm-hmm. I know I'm flawed. Let's let God decide. So tomorrow, let's get before the tent of meeting and let's let God decide. So they show up together. Here you are, WWE moment here in the spirit. They're standing on opposite sides. And Moses does, again, what he did the first time. He gets down on his face. And he lays prostrate before God and says nothing. That had to be an awkward moment. I don't know how long it was, but let's say it was 10 minutes standing in utter silence with Moses bowing before God. And he gets up and he says, okay, here's the deal. If God has picked me, you'll know that if the earth opens up and swallows Korah and his followers. And if that doesn't happen, you need to kick me out of leadership.
Yeah.
And instantly the earth opens up and swallows Korah and his followers.
Well, what's crazy too is God says, I'm going to kill all of the Israelites. Yeah. He's like, because they're all mad, you know, this contagion has spread. So they're all, Moses is like, what the
heck?
Let's
go back to Egypt.
Let's go back to Egypt. And God says, Moses, I'm going to kill all of these guys. And Moses is like, wait, don't kill all of them for the sin of one person. It's crazy.
It is.
It's crazy. It says the Spirit of God descends on the tent of meeting. All this happens. Moses says, he runs out and is like, get away from him if you don't want to be judged for a sin. And boom, like the earth ruptures open. Korah, his family, his followers all get sucked in. And then I think it closes back up over them, right?
Wouldn't it be great if it always happened that way? No, I mean, I'm just kidding. It actually is good that it doesn't always happen
I'm
that
thankful
way.
For
this
for
is
that.
A one-time event. But let me talk to pastors now.
People might think you were serious. Yeah. There. Yeah.
So, Pastor, if you have a Korah in your midst who is stirring up trouble for you, don't become defensive.
Yeah.
Don't all of a sudden now get angry and lash back. Don't plan your next sermon and target the rebel group when you preach. Keep your heart soft before God. Forgive. Get on your face. Cry out to God. Humble yourself before the Lord and let the Lord defend you. Do not get involved in this battle.
Yeah.
This is not the way to pastor a church, to somehow defend yourself against everyone who wants to leave or offers criticism. Stay humble before God.
Yeah.
And God will have your back. Actually, the verse I love to quote here in related to the Moses and Korah is, blessed are the meek, for they'll inherit the earth. And meek doesn't mean weak. It means who are willing to yield the right of control to God. Because God will move heaven and earth on their behalf.
Yeah.
And even if they leave you, and even if they criticize you, even if a tribe of them rises up against you, if you humble yourself before God and keep your heart pure and continue to be faithful, God will have your back.
Yeah.
And if you are in a Korah group, maybe you're not Korah, but you're in Korah's group, and you are in a small group right now of people who are constantly criticizing the pastor in the church, get out of that group.
Yeah.
It is going to consume you.
Yeah.
Maybe the earth won't swallow you up, but it will swallow your spirit.
Yeah.
And it won't be good for you. And so stop listening to it. Like, run from this group.
Yeah.
You say, but they feel so right and mature. Yeah, but, and let me just say, there are Korahs on social media.
Yeah.
And
there are Korahs in pulpits on social media.
There are.
Yeah.
And not to say that they're rebelling against me, the man of God, but I think we have to translate it into God's way of leading in the world is not through rebellion, it's through humility.
Yes.
And if you are a part of something that has rebellion, that it reeks of rebellion and anger and fear, it's probably not God.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think there are a lot of good points that I often will hear from people that are highly critical of the church or of pastors. And it makes me think, honestly, a lot of times too, I'll take that back and I'll sometimes we'll have conversations like, this is a good thought, but it's usually filtered by that point.
Yeah.
You know, I'll tell you, but like, you can feel this. I mean, I think everybody can feel this, even if you're in one of those groups. Even if the points are truthful, there's almost a sourness or an edge or a sharpness to it that leaves you feeling more frustrated than at peace. Yeah. And to me, that's always a sign that God's not in it. If you feel this chafing and like
Well, there are legitimate things that need to be dealt with. There are potentially policies that shouldn't have been policies. Maybe pastor and church and leadership are making mistakes.
Yes.
Maybe there should be a shift in terms of the methodology. All that's okay to talk about things that are concepts or adjustments or methods. There's no threat with that. Like, okay, yeah, bring those things up. Wrestle through it. When it becomes personal.
Yeah.
When you're branding somebody, when you're labeling somebody, when you're challenging people to leave because of it.
When you're outraged. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Some of it's the attitude. If there's anger behind it, as opposed to like compassion.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we should adjust this. I think that, you know, we're missing something here. That's something as opposed to, can you believe, you know what I mean? Yeah. Can you believe they did
right.
this?
Which
What's going on?
I don't know how many times I've quoted this in the last couple of years, but it's the James 1 principle. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because the anger of man does not produce the righteous purposes that God desires.
Yeah.
So if it's driven by anger or ambition or fear, yeah. it's probably not coming from the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Now, maybe there's a component of what you feel that's actually true and accurate, but if you don't get rid of the anger, fear, and all the stuff that comes with it, then it's going to be tainted and it won't produce unity or peace or any of the righteous purposes that God desires. So massive shout out to pastors who've weathered this
yeah.
and remain humble and free inside, not bitter, and are leading in spite of what they've endured. Massive shout out to the people who have stayed in their church family and served and blessed even when you've been discontented. Massive shout out to people who made some bad decisions and have recognized that was not healthy for me and they've come back to center.
Yeah.
Because I do think we're all learning a little bit, and maybe this is one of the learnings from this, is how we treat our church and how we treat each other and how we make change. Because, yeah. look, we've planted now, this will be our 32nd church. When someone comes to me and wants to go someplace else, I am never threatened by that.
Sure.
And I may be in a little bit of a unique class because we've sent people away so often. But if someone says, hey, look, I'm going to go up to Victory Family Church where Pastor John Nuzzo is. I just really feel like we live a little closer there and we relate to that ministry. I just want to know, thank you for everything. You know what I say? Awesome, man. I love John Nuzzo.
Yeah, Pastor John's like, awesome.
Yeah. Go there and serve well. And if I ever talk to John, I'll tell him what a gift he's getting in you.
Sure.
I have no problem with that. I have no problem with that conversation, nor do I think John has a problem if someone comes from Victory on the same terms. We, in fact, many of the pastors in Pittsburgh now have developed such friendships that we are blessing each other regularly. And we talk about people who are making these changes.
Right.
So that's a really healthy thing. There's not a competition going on. Now, I know some cities that may be different. It's not that way in Pittsburgh, which I think makes these church transition problems healthier.
Sure.
But there are a few pastors in Pittsburgh who have leveraged this pandemic. There are.
Sure. Yeah.
And have done it in a way that is not God-honoring. And, multiple families have left Allison Park Church to go there for what I would call outrage reasons.
Yeah.
And it breaks my heart.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they're in a good place. Mm-hmm. So that's my little bold shot there for the moment.
it's not even that bold. I think what we all have to do when it comes down to it, it's just examine our hearts and be humble enough to admit if we've made mistakes.
Yeah.
Everybody does.
That's right.
You know, even leaders that maybe didn't make a particular mistake during the pandemic, we're still all making mistakes and we're learning. And so this is, I think, one of the other weapons the you know, web is a mass destruction in today's culture is shame, you know, like name and shame
these
people.
That sounds like a great podcast title, Weapons of Mass Destruction in Today's Culture.
Yeah.
We could probably list some of them.
We probably could. I think one of the biggest ones, I'm seeing this all the time now, is name and shame, right? But that we don't want to do, in fact, I think we're being very intentional to not name any pastors.
Sure.
We don't want to name and shame them.
Come to us in secret, we'll tell you.
We'll gossip privately, just not on this, not on the podcast. No, but I mean, I think if we've made mistakes, the goal is not to feel shame or to feel like, wow, I'm a way worse person or compare, but the goal is just to get closer to God and to be made more in the image of Christ and do it together to be a family.
Yeah.
So do you have any closing encouragements or challenges, pieces of wisdom that you want to throw out?
Yeah. You know, I just want to say, Pastor, it's okay to not be perfect, and you know, you're flawed. And be comfortable enough in your own skin to admit it. You know, sometimes people will come to me and they'll say, you know, in a good spirit, and be appropriately critical. I noticed this about your leadership or your preaching ministry, and you know, I don't really like that so much. And sometimes I'll say, like, yeah, I get it. I agree with you. But I'm 58 years old, and by now it's probably not going to get any better than this. So I get it. If you need to go someplace else, I'm doing my best and I'm trying to please God. And so, you know, I hear you, and I'm getting some advice or coaching on this, but you just need to know you have a flawed pastor. And then people are like, oh, I didn't mean that at all. I didn't mean to say you were flawed. But really it helps to know that it's okay that you're not perfect. It's okay that you don't preach perfect. It's okay that you don't lead perfect. It's okay that you make some decisions that you're not sure how to figure out how to solve some problems. You don't have to be perfect. And I'll just say, my dad, before he passed, was with me in my church for 15 years. Not only was he one of the greatest pastors that I ever saw, he was one of the greatest church members.
Yeah.
He was so encouraging. Every message, he would come to me and speak life to me. He would tell me what an amazing leader I was and how proud he was for me. And you know, honestly, Allison Park's style was not my dad's style. He actually had to buy a whole new wardrobe when he came to Allison Park because he only had suits and ties. And we don't wear suits and ties typically here. So he tried to morph into the outfits that fit. He would actually tell me, look at what I'm wearing on Sunday. He had to figure out the fashion. So it wasn't really necessarily always his style. And he didn't always like the songs we picked. And it was a totally different place of where he had been his home. But he never let that for once taint his outlook.
Yeah.
He just was. Now, I was his son. Of course, he was cheering for me. But wouldn't you want to be a church member that their pastor feels that way about you?
Yeah, it's awesome.
I mean, that you're like, wow. And if you ever do leave, just leave well. Leave with blessing. Leave sensitively.
Yeah.
Leave ethically. Don't be a Cora. Right. And I think that if we can figure this out, we can all do better at being what the world needs the church to be, rather than being a meme of what they think the church is.
That's so good. That's so good. I have a lot more that I could share. I guess I'll just close with an encouraging thought. You know, I know we talked this past episode about, like, just doing faithfully what God's called you to do, asking God, like, what is it you're asking me to do? And you judge success based on, am I doing those things? You know what I mean? And I know we talked about, like, the different talents of people that God gave, you know, that one parable, I gave one guy five, one guy two. And we're like, you know, it feels bad if you're a guy with two that's multiplying to four and you're not the guy with 10 or whatever. But I just was, the other day I was driving down the road, and I'm trying to practice silence right now, where I'm like not always listening to everything.
Yeah.
I don't always have a podcast on because I'm bad at that. That's not my natural thing. And just listening for God. And I felt like he brought that podcast to my mind, and he was just like, you know, you don't have to try to be anything else but you. You know, like all I'm asking for you to do is to just grow and be you, but, like, you know, in a Christ-like way. And so I guess when you were just saying that about pastors, like,
yeah.
I think being okay, not being content with our flaws in the sense that we don't try to grow or be more like Jesus, but being okay that we're not the perfect version of ourselves, because,
yeah,
you know, that's who, like.
And if you're in a church, be content with the fact that your pastor is flawed. Yeah. And if you're married to someone, be content with the fact that your spouse is flawed and that you are too. And that you're never going to be in an environment where you're married to somebody or submitted to someone who is always perfect. If you're insisting on that, that is a really unrealistic, and that is a real hindrance to true family.
Yeah.
Family is where we cover each other's flaws, not sure. Where we point them out. And I've made up my mind. So I'm on many church. I'm on many parachurch boards, ministry boards.
Sure.
I'm on oversight, and I'm on some national boards. I've made up my mind that every board I'm on, I will be the best board member.
Yeah.
Here's what I mean. After the meeting, I will find the chairman or director, and I will say, "Wow, way to go, man." And anytime a celebration is pointed, I will point it out and I'll be like, that is so incredible. Like, I have made up my mind, every board I'm on, I will be the most encouraging person in the room. And as I ever transition from Allison Park Church and I attend someplace, I will be the most encouraging church member. In fact, I dare you to try to out encourage me, because I will be the most encouraging church member to any pastor you will ever find, because my mission in life is to be that.
Wow.
And if I ever have something to say, I will say it in the most loving tone possible, because the Holy Spirit doesn't work through rebellion, but he does work through encouragement.
Ooh, yeah.
His primary tone is never criticism. It is always encouragement. Not that he doesn't convict us. He does. But he always does it with the tone of encouragement.
That's so good. Yeah, well, we hope you have gotten some life from this. That's always our goal, is to speak life into you and your family and your church as well. So I hope you're encouraged by this. And again, we would love it if you would help us by spreading the word. You can share this on social media. You can like and subscribe on YouTube. You can leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify. Because, you know, we just are hoping to spread some more of this life and encouragement to more people. So thanks again for joining us. We hope you have a great day or night, and we'll see you for the next episode.